practicing biblical forgiveness. Biblical forgiveness. And that may very well be different from what you think forgiveness is, or what I used to think forgiveness is. But we're going to find out what the Bible says about forgiveness and whether or not you're practicing it, whether or not I am practicing it. I want to start today's message with the word clean. With the word clean. It means something different to you, probably, than it does to me. And it definitely means clean to me. Means one thing, clean to my wife. Now that's a different thing. There is a discrepancy between what we consider to be clean. Can I get a witness from the guys? You understand what I'm talking about, right? And the women are saying, yeah, we understand that. A guy is clean and a girl is clean in general, not across the board, but there's a little bit difference between clean. And so when I say I'm going to clean this, it may be clean in my eyes, it may not be clean in my wife's eyes. But if you go to a restaurant, whose clean do you want? How clean do you want? Do you want my wife's clean? Do you want my clean? Do you want your own standard of clean? Well, to fix that problem is they have these things called health inspectors. And they come in, and they have a set of criteria that they're things that they're looking for, and they check them off. And when it's clean, if the store scores 100%, you know that everything on that list was marked off. All the things that are there were there. All the things that are supposed to be gone weren't there. And you score an objective clean in the inspector's eyes. And so we have this standard, this checklist, whereby we can determine where we want things to be restaurant clean. The same thing happens with biblical issues sometimes. We take a word like forgiveness, and one person will say, oh yeah, I'm forgiving, and then they go through their small checklist of things, and they're saying, oh, that's forgiveness. And another person might have a whole different opinion, and then God has a checklist that we can go to, and we can discover whether or not, number one, first we understand biblical forgiveness, and then equally as important, number two, whether or not we're practicing it. So today I hope that if you don't know exactly what biblical forgiveness is, that you'll learn something. And secondly, and I think just as important, if not more important, is that you will start to put these things into practice. So I'm going to give you 9 points, which is absolutely unheard of when it comes to a sermon, but they're going to be fast, and I promise. 9 points about forgiveness. Number one, forgiveness must be modeled after God's forgiveness. We cannot just arbitrarily pick our own checklist of what forgiveness is and expect to honor God and expect for it to work. In Ephesians 4, 32, it says, be kind and loving to each other and forgive each other just as God forgave you in Christ. So the model, the way we have to forgive, is defined as the same way that God forgives us. Okay, so there's the standard. We've got to figure out how God forgives us, and then we have to treat other people the same way. Number two, true love can often overlook an offense. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. You want to be that loving where you can look over somebody's sins. When somebody rolls their eyes at you or they say something a little bit sharp, every time somebody does something wrong, we don't have to walk through the forgiveness process. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. And so we honor God by overlooking other people's sins. Now, we're not like God in this section of forgiveness, because God will never overlook an offense. He's in the forgiving business, but He will not overlook. He's not going to sweep something under the rug. But because we're sinners, God has given us this mandate to do what we can to let things go. There can be a lot of minor things in life we can just let go and not walk through the forgiveness process, because we can just forgive blanket and just overlook it and let it go. All right, we're supposed to do that. So there's that option. If you have an issue in your heart, you can forgive and let love cover a multitude of sins. And if you can do what the rest of the things we're talking about, you don't have to talk to that person. You can get over it. All right? But if you can't let love overlook that sin, then you have to walk through this process. Number three, repentance is required to have biblical forgiveness. Luke 17:3, so watch yourselves. If your brother sins, and rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. So the Bible mandates repentance, which means I'm walking this way and I'm doing this thing, and now I'm going to turn around. That's repentance. Look what the next verse says, Acts 3:19. Repent then and turn around to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come for the Lord. So when we repent, when we change our mind, when we turn around from the sin that we're doing, the wrong things that we're doing, God says there's a time of refreshing that's going to come as we walk away from sin and walk to Him. This is biblical forgiveness, and it requires repentance. Biblical forgiveness always requires repentance. And what is repentance? Well, number four, repentance is a promise to change. Repentance is a promise to change. So, as an example, let's say that you're walking in the hallway, and I walk by, and I elbow you in the rib. Okay? And it's very clear I do it on purpose. Okay? My repentance would be a promise to change. Now, it's a promise to change. It doesn't mean I've changed, because I'm going to promise I can do that again. But as soon as I say I repent, how do you know I really have? It's based on the words that I say and the promise that I've made. So the real repentance will take some time, but the actual repentance, the first step is to say, I'm sorry, I messed up. Look at Acts 26:20. I preach that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. And so eventually it's going to play out that I'm going to walk by you a lot more times, not elbow you in the ribs, not bruise you up. And that will prove my repentance. But as far as God's forgiveness repentance part, you can't hold out your forgiveness until that happens. We do it based on what we say. So I've elbowed you in the ribs, you're sore, and I say to you, I repent. Now the ball's in your court. Okay, so repentance is required. Number five, forgiveness is God's declaration to not remember our sins against us. So according to the Scriptures, forgiveness means God says, I'm going to separate them from you and I'm not going to hold it against you. Isaiah 43:25, I am the one who forgives all your sins for my sake. I will not remember your sins. So the question begs to be asked, does God forget your sins? Let's see. God's all-knowing. He's always been. He's all-powerful. So if He knows everything, He can't forget your sins. So how does this verse make sense in light of who God is? Well, it's a promise not to remember, which means He's not going over and over again. He puts it out of His sight. There's still a set of books that have every sin, good and bad, everything we've done. It's still there. God didn't forget about it. But He says, I'll not hold it against you. And so, once I repent to God and I say, oh God, I messed up, He says, I promise I'll forgive you and not remember it against you. We'll break that down into details in just a minute. But for now, let's say that God doesn't remember our sins on purpose. He puts them out of His memory and He doesn't hold that against us. Number six, saying I'm sorry and you saying okay is not the same as granting and receiving forgiveness. Now this is the world's model for forgiveness, and many have bought into it. That if I say I'm sorry and you say it's okay, then that is forgiveness. But unfortunately, that works in stuff like if I walk by the hallway and I bump into you accidentally, well, that works. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Or if I spill chocolate milk on your white tablecloth, I say, oh, I'm sorry, and you say that's okay, and I say, oh, let me buy you a new tablecloth, and you say, no, that's okay. It's kind of excusing that. And where sin is not involved, where it doesn't break God's law, I'm sorry and okay, that's great. And a matter of fact, when it does, it's still okay to say I'm sorry. But let's look at some very specific things about this worldly process that's been disguised as forgiveness. Letter A, sorry tells how you feel. So if I say I'm sorry, I'm telling you how I feel, but I haven't made any real commitment to you. I mean, obviously I knocked the chocolate milk over on your table. I didn't intend to do it in the first place, and I don't intend to do it again, but it's not about that. It's just about how I feel. Oh, I'm really sorry about that. If you say okay, in that circumstance, it's okay because you know I didn't mean to. But if I elbowed you on purpose and I say, I'm sorry, and you say, oh, it's okay, then you're excusing my bad behavior. There's been no exchange of intentions of doing anything different. And while we might mean that, it's always kind of cloudy because we don't come out and say the things that need to be said. But letter C, if I ask you to please forgive me, then I've done these three things. Number one, I've made a confession that I made a bad choice, I've done something wrong. Secondly, I'm making a promise that I'm not going to do it again. And thirdly, I'm making a request to you. Now here's the nitty-gritty of forgiveness, okay? We're in the hallway. I come up and I give you a nice elbow to the rib on purpose. I come in here and I start singing songs to God and trying to do my worship, and God starts talking to me saying, that was really wrong. And so I come to you afterwards and I sit you down and say, man, I am really sorry that I did that. Tells how I feel. Doesn't really fix anything. But then I say, it was wrong. That was sinful. That was mean. I promise I'm not going to do it again. Will you please forgive me? Now, that's the biblical process of forgiveness when sin is involved. Repentance says, I'm wrong, and I've done the wrong thing, and now I put the ball in your court, and we need to look at what the Bible says is your responsibility and my responsibility on forgiveness. Number seven, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a fourfold promise. It's a fourfold promise to never bring the matter up again. So if I've messed up and I've repented, I'm promising not to do it again. Now it's your turn to make a promise. So what four things do you need to promise? Well, let's look at the scripture first. Hebrews 8:12. I will forgive them for the wicked they did, and I will not remember their sins anymore. So if we're going to forgive like God forgives, we have to not remember those sins anymore. And here's how we do it. Letter A. We promise not to bring the matter up again with the sinner. So now, if I say, will you please forgive me for hurting you? And you say yes, you're promising not to bring it up with me again. Which means we can't go back and have a cup of coffee, and you can't say, man, my ribs are really sore, you really hurt me, I can't believe you did that, and bring up the idea again. You can't start joking with me about it and saying, man, it's my ribs are sore, you got quite a sharp elbow. You can't bring up my sin and throw it in my face anymore. And how do I know that? How can I tell you that you can't do that? Because that's what God says. I will remember them no more against you. And so you can't bring the sin up again with me. Secondly, you can't bring the sin up again with others. So you can't go to your little chatty group, wherever that is, around the water cooler, or pick up the phone and start saying, hey, did you believe what our pastor did? Man, he was, for no reason at all, he just come up and elbowed me and he bruised me up. And if you forgive like God forgives, that's off limits to you. You can't. Aside from the fact that that would be gossip and slander. You can't bring it up with me. You can't bring it up with other people. If you want to be like God, if you want to forgive like God forgives. Thirdly, letter C, you can't bring up the matter again in your own mind. You can't sit around and replay that over and over again and do the JFK 9 camera angles slow motion and watch my elbow go into your rib and just feel sorry for yourself and just can't believe you would do that to me 1,000 and 1,000 times, and you laugh because you know you do that. Your mind is the best video machine around. You can replay stuff all the time. And God says, when I forgive, I forget it. I don't hold it against you. He knows it happened. And if you forgive me, you'll always know what happens. And for a week or so, you'll really know what happened because of the pain. But you refuse to think about it and relive it, because that's the definition of forgiveness by God's standards. The fourth promise that you have to make is this, is that you can't let the sin affect the relationship. Which means next time you see me coming down the hallway, you can't run. You can't go duck into another room. You can't avoid me. You can't break the golf date or the fishing date or whatever else we had going on. You can't ostracize me from your social calendar, because God doesn't do that. He forgives. He takes us back. He treats us as though if it never happened. Now, so I ask you this question. We have two promises made. I've messed up. I promise you that I'm never going to do it again. You have to make a promise that says, I'm never going to bring it up again with you, with other people, in my own mind, and I'm not going to let it affect our relationship. Who's got the harder job? Who's got the harder job? It's hard to say I'm wrong. It's hard to say I'm sorry. It's hard to say please forgive me. But it is so much harder to grant real biblical forgiveness, because it's a promise that you have to keep. And if you don't keep your promise, guess what that is? That's sin. And so it puts you on the spot. When I say, will you please forgive me? We just say a few words and you say, sure. There's a whole lot more to it than I'm sorry. Okay. It's now I've made a covenant with you. I've made a covenant with God that I'm going to forgive like God forgives. And it's a hard thing to do. It's not easy to forgive. But you know what? The God who guides always provides. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have all the strength and all the power you need to practice biblical forgiveness. When I started practicing this a number of years back and understood it, it was just an eye-opener to me. And I was like, no, that can't be right. And as I began to practice, I found that the times of refreshing that God was talking about came. And eventually, you'll forget. The world says, forgive and forget, but they don't do it. But if you forgive this way, you will eventually forget. Why? Because every time that thought comes into your mind, you say, nope, that's not right. I can't replay that. I'd like to tell so-and-so about, nope, I can't do that. I'd like to remind you, nope, I can't do that. And as you practice God's rules, it seems very, like it ties your hands at first, but then it offers this great freedom. So the forgive and forget, the Bible never commands you to forget. But I can almost guarantee you that if you forgive this way and you practice it, that eventually you're going to forget many, many hurts that were done to you. And that is very freeing. Number 8, it's very hard to forgive somebody. But the good news is that forgiveness is granted and is not felt. Sometimes what we want to do is if I come to you immediately after hurting you like that and I bruise up your rib, you want to say, I need some time. And I've got to replay this and I've got to relive it and I've got to work through all the emotional side and I've got to do all my thing and I understand where you're coming from. But when someone asks you, will you forgive me, you've got two choices. You say yes, or you say no in one of two ways. You say maybe later, and that's no for now. Or you say, no, I'm not going to forgive you. And it's granted and it's not felt. Let's look at Luke 17, verses 3 through 10. Several of these verses will be on the screens, not all of them. So be careful. If another follower sins, warn him. And if he is sorry and stops sinning, forgive him. Now, this is a New Century Version translation, and that word is repent. If he's sorry and stops sinning, if he repents, is the word, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in one day and says, I repent, or that he is sorry, forgive him. And so if I elbow you in the ribs one time when I go back, I get a cup of coffee, I come back and I do it again, again and again. Number one, you should be smarter than to keep your ribs open that long. But if I would do it 7 times in a row and then repent, say, man, I really blew it, would you forgive me? And I did that after each one. What's your biblical responsibility? The Lord just said we're supposed to forgive me. Make that promise again in spite of the pain, in spite of the fact that I did it 4. Probably going to do it again. 5, probably going to do it again. And the Bible says we still have to grant forgiveness. And what did the apostle say in verse 5? The apostle said, Lord, give us more faith. We got to have more faith to do that. And Jesus said this very popular saying that usually is not tied in with this idea of forgiveness. He said, if you have as much faith as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to be uprooted and that tree to be uprooted and they'll be tossed in the sea. Jesus is saying this. You don't need a lot of faith to forgive. You don't. You just get up. You make the promise. You grit your teeth. And even though all that's in you feels like not forgiving, you make the promise because you can do that no matter how you feel. Yes, I forgive you. And if you know what that means and you begin to practice it, you won't be cheated in the process, I guarantee. It seems like it, doesn't it? Oh man, it's just too easy to get off when a guy hits you seven times and I'm going to forgive him seven times. But if you don't let that person off and forgive them in the right way, you're not holding that person on a hook. Satan's holding you on a hook. And that bitterness and that anger is going to hold there. And so you can take the checklist, much like they do at the restaurant, and you can say, have I really forgiven that person? Well, forgiveness is granted and it's not felt. Jesus goes on to tell this story. Suppose one of you has a servant who's been plowing the ground and caring for your sheep. When the servant comes in from working the field, would you say to your servant, who you're paying, by the way, come in and sit down and eat? No. You would say to him, prepare something for me to eat. Then get yourself ready. After I finished eating and drinking, you can eat. And then the servant does not get any special thanks for doing what the master commanded. The story is basically this. If you're on the clock, you don't get a special thank you for doing what you're supposed to do. It's funny that this story comes right behind the biblical forgiveness story. In verse 10 of that same passage, Jesus says, it's the same with you. When you've done everything you are told to do, you should only say, we are unworthy servants. We've only done what we should have done. And so we want to pat ourselves on the back saying, oh, I'm going to be forgiving. I'm going to do that. And it's a big deal. And God says, number one, you don't need a lot of faith to do it. Number two, it's not a big deal. Now, how can God say that? Because at some point, as a believer in Christ, you stood before God and said, God, I've blown it. And God did the exact same thing for you. And He did the exact same thing for me. And He teaches us that we need to grant this forgiveness despite how we feel. It honors God and it frees us up. Number 9. Forgiveness is required to have a right relationship with God. Matthew chapter 6 verses 14 and following say, yes, if you forgive others for their sins, your Father in heaven will also forgive your sins. But if you don't forgive others, your Father who is in heaven will not forgive your sins. And so the bottom line comes to this, that God commands it, He gives us, lays it out how we're supposed to forgive, and He says, if you want to forgive others, you go ahead. And if you don't, just know that when you come and try to worship, when you come and try to have this relationship with me, when you come and you don't have any peace, that your forgiveness hinges on how you treat other people. You can't buy your way into heaven. Forgiving other people doesn't make you forgiven and get into heaven. We're not talking about heaven and hell. We're talking about a relationship with God that includes joy and peace and love and purpose and meaning. And God says, if you don't forgive other people, I'm holding out on you. Because I've done the same thing for you and you need to do it for others. So I guess my question for you this morning is, do you understand biblical forgiveness? It's a promise. It's a promise that you can keep with God's power. And are you practicing it? You go back to the restaurant, you look at that number, and if that number is low, you know they didn't do very good. You know that there's something dirty, there's something not right when they have these low scores on their health certificate there in the restaurant. Somebody with some objectivity has gone in there and they've evaluated. I'm asking you to do the same thing. Is there someone in your life that you've not forgiven? You hold a grudge and you think you're going to hurt them? You know what? And even if they never repent, you can be like God and you can have that forgiveness on your fingertips ready to give to them and you hope they repent, rather than having it in your hip pocket with your arms crossed and saying, you know what? If they repent, I'll forgive them. That's not God's attitude. God's attitude is, oh, I hope they repent so that we can get the relationship right. So where are you today? How well do you score on your forgiveness certificate? Would you bow with me in prayer? God, I thank You for the clear message that we have about forgiveness. God, You've given us your word and you've given us that forgiveness, Lord, just makes us clean and lets us stand before you even though we don't deserve it. So, Father, I pray that you'll help deal with each heart. And God, where there's forgiveness that's not taking place, I pray that you'll bring that about. Where there's unrepentance, God, I pray that you'll move hearts so we can get closer and closer to you. Lord, we just love you and thank you for your work in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.